All right, we want to welcome you again, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly a privilege to share with you, especially on the Sabbath. You know, people don't realize it, but the Sabbath is special to God. Yes, there are some who believe that they can rest on Sunday. Well, they are off a little, really, as much as a day. You know, it's just like you going a day late to pick up your paycheck. You know, sometimes you'll get some stuff, but it makes a difference when you're in His presence. And so the Sabbath is important. Besides, the Sabbath is our demarcation. It's a milestone of what God is doing. And so each Sabbath has a special meaning. What is that meaning? It means, ladies and gentlemen, that we have reached another milestone in the overall plan of God. For example, the weekly Sabbath is designed to represent the period of time where Jesus is going to set up the millennial rule on earth. In other words, as opposed to devil ruling as he is now, he's going to be replaced and Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. Now guess who's going to help him? Yes, that's right, you and I, the saints, those who overcome, those who are developed. No, it's not for everybody. Not everybody who says Jesus is going to be in the kingdom. Only those who overcome. If you haven't been doing your part to make sure you overcome, well, you're derelict. And consequently, you will not be on the part of the team. Now, the children of Israel, they were God's chosen people. But there came a time when God decided He's not going to put up with them any longer, with the foolishness that they were doing. And so He allowed another nation to come and defeat them. It is called the Assyrians in 2 Kings chapter 17. They actually took over. This is not my message. This is an addition because something on my spirit, and I was going to go ahead and share and explain something because a lot of folks don't understand the gist of what is going on. But what I am trying to convey to you is that they didn't do right and God removed them. His chosen people. So if we think that we can do as we feel like without any penalty, we're mistaken. But look at what happened so that we can actually all get a glimpse of how serious God is about these things. In 2 Kings chapter 17, it says in verse 35, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. Serve God. That our people were worshiping false gods today? Yes, their jobs, their hobbies, their toys. They have all kind of gods today. No different from back then. Verse 34. Oh man, it fit in. But I needed to go to verse 25. So it was at the beginning of the dwelling, those that they feared not that I the Lord, feared not me. They feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Let's back up and get a little bit more reading. The king of Assyria, verse 24 of 2 Kings 17, brought men from Babylon. So here it is now. They destroyed the children of Israel and run them out of town. Take even the ministers captive. Carried them away. And so they decided, the Assyrians decided, we're going to send people down there so that they get so messed up they can't tell where they come from. We're going to send other people to go occupy their land. And so in verse 24, the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Seraphim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. So they removed the children of Israel, carried them away as slaves. They never returned back to that land. Instead, he brought other people there and put them there. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. Samaria was the capital of the northern 10 tribes that kept the name Israel. So these people who were brought there from Babylon, they became known as the Samaritans in Jesus' time. The Jews didn't have nothing to do with the Samaritans. That's why. Because these people actually came from Babylon and they came there and they stayed in the land where Assyria had put them. Wherefore they spoke to the king of Assyria, verse 25 rather, and it was at the beginning of their dwelling that they feared not the Lord. So they come now, just like a lot of people today, you know, folks don't realize it. We have a commitment to God. So guess who's looking out for us constantly? Angels. And there are people who sometimes come against us without realizing it, don't realize they're going to get a spanking because the angels are there looking out. They're always on guard. They don't fall asleep. All right? And neither do they back down. So anyway, these new Israelites call themselves Samaritans. They were actually from Babylon. And they did not fear the Lord. In other words, they did not fear the Lord God. And so he sent... therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Here it is, so-and-so, we die. What happened? Some lion just come out of nowhere and just kill them. Lion just coming all over the place, killing the people. And it was so much that they became scared. And being superstitious, they say, well, they spoke to the king of Assyria, verse 26, saying, the nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, they do not know the manner of the God of the land. In other words, they do not know anything about the one true God. Therefore, he sent lions among them, and behold, they slew, the lions now slew them, because they knew not the manner of the God of the land. Now, that is their assumption. He killed them till they decide to get scared and say, we need to learn something about their God if we're going to live in their land. I tell people, you hang around me, you better learn something about my God. Otherwise, God's going to either run your way, you're not going to get blessings that you deserve or you want. Well, actually, you get what you deserve. But my point is that you desire. And so, this is the same thing that happened to them. So, the king of Assyria, verse 27, commanded, saying, carry there one of the priests whom you brought from there. But send back one of the priests so you can tell them how to behave themselves when they come into the presence of God, when they come into his land. So this, you know, he says, send back one of the priests and let him go and dwell there and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. There is a manner, an approach, a protocol step, so to speak, in order to deal with the God of the land. There are protocol steps to deal with the Sabbath and so on. Not everybody understands these things. People think they know. So, verse 28 says, then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria, he came and dwelt at Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And he taught them how they should fear and show proper reverence and respect for God. Now, listen to this. These folks, well, we don't have to believe in their God. We just defeated them in war. Yes, you did. Not because you're powerful, but because God refused to defend them. He said, listen, I'm fed up with them and the way they behave. Let them get defeated, and that's exactly what happened. You say, well, I'm not going to serve God now because we don't really believe in it. You are a fool if you think that's the case. I am telling you, it's not going to work out. Things are not going to work out no matter how hard they work. And I'm saying this is why the world is working so hard and not getting anywhere. Rather, things are getting worse. I thought I would share that because today, ladies and gentlemen, as we go through this series, I want us to focus on our calling and our walk. Because God is calling many. The word is going forth. The light has come to us. Look how confused the world is. You know, ladies and gentlemen, throughout all of this, because the world is very confused, we, that's you and I, who believe in God, are enjoying the presence of God. You imagine that. Everybody's out there struggling and acting up and complaining, and we are enjoying the presence of God. That's what he has called us to at this time. Before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 60. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, to read a little about what God has done for us. Because in verse 1 it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Your light? Yes. Well, why is it you have light? Because God gave it to you. The light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Are you with me? Arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. I mean, gross darkness and the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. People are going to notice us, that we are not like everybody else. In fact, we are special. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. And we need to have this at the forefront of our mind, ladies and gentlemen. Even the Gentiles, that's people who don't know God, shall come to your light, and the kings to brightness of your rising. Other people are going to come and inquire about us. Why is it things are working for us? Other people are struggling, we're not. Other people are complaining, we're not. So what is it about you? We know God. What did the doctor say? You have a hotline, you must have a hotline to the man upstairs. Yes, I do. It's called a covenant. So verse 5 says, then when you get this now, pick up verse 4. Lift up your eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to you, your sons shall come from far, your daughters shall be nursed at their side. So they're going to come. In other words, people are going to try to serve you. So verse 5 says, then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. In other words, people are going to struggle and work hard, but for those who know God, it's going to come directly to you. It's as if you just get everything they have. Well, this is our calling, ladies and gentlemen. And so I want to go ahead and just remind you about some things as we press through. Because as we were saying, the other expression is heritage. That's our heritage. It's being fulfilled and will culminate in us being in the kingdom of God. Now I want to bring some things to your reminders, ladies and gentlemen. Bring something to your attention about what God has done and what he continues to do. A lot of folks don't get it. Let's go to Proverbs, the 13th chapter. Proverbs chapter 13. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 34. Because when you understand it, ladies and gentlemen, living for Jesus is easy. Did I say that right? Proverbs 14, rather. That should have been Proverbs 14. I said it incorrectly. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. We have talked about this before, but I want to begin by pointing this out, because when we understand it, ladies and gentlemen, there is no real reason why we can't prosper. There's no real reason Why, even if you start off with nothing, after 4 years you can have an abundance. Verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What is a nation? It's a group of people, group of families. Righteousness will exalt them. They'll become prominent. In the past, America used to be known for righteousness. Not anymore. But righteousness exalted America, and so America now was living the life, so to speak. We were living big time. So I want us to keep that in mind. Righteousness is what is going to exalt us. What do you think then is going to exalt you? That's right, you get it right. Righteousness. Righteousness is going to exalt you. And so we need to keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes, you know, folks get this idea. They can, you know, well, kind of not, we don't really have to pay attention to the Lord right now. Or really? Who told you that? I just told you that righteousness will exalt you. And yet there are people who are acting like they don't understand. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All right, let me see. Just want to make sure I get this thing right. Now, let's go on a little further. When you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, what's going to happen to the nation? What's going to happen to Jamaica? What's going to happen to Barbados or Trinidad or United States or Canada or England or Australia? Is the people repenting? Are they reaching out and paying attention to God? Are they repenting of their misdeeds? I think not. God cannot exalt them then, can he? What about you? Is God exalting you, or are you still going through the school of hard knocks because you won't listen? Well, righteousness will exalt you. Turn to God. That's the answer. All right, so that reminder number one is that righteousness will exalt you. Now, reminder number two is that we need to learn some basic things. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15 says, good understanding. Good understanding gives favor. I go and I like to work on things, work on machines and stuff like that. And from time to time, I'll just go and folks are there wondering, how are you going to get this done? And I just go do it. I have a good understanding of what I'm talking about. I have a good understanding of how it's supposed to work. So, a good understanding will allow me to accomplish things quickly and easily, efficiently. But the way of the transgressor is hard. The one who chooses to do things their way instead of God's way, they're going to struggle. Even if you have good intentions to help them, they're still going to struggle. A good understanding will give you favor, ladies and gentlemen. But the transgressor, the one who won't listen, on next Thursday, that's Thursday coming, we will be celebrating the Day of Atonement. We're going to have services here 11:30, that's normal. That's normal. And for those who join us, it's a fast day, so the fast starts sundown. That's the Wednesday evening before. And so what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're going to set aside that time. Now, there are some folks who have a problem with things like that. And so they try to convince us that all they need is Jesus. Well, they really don't know Jesus, because Jesus was the one who implemented all these things initially. The Lord of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. And so what we find then, ladies and gentlemen, is a documentation that will help us to make this come clear to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And let's pick up verse 11, because some people like to argue. They fail to understand. Sometimes they compare themselves with the children of Israel, not realizing that they don't have access to the Spirit like we do. If you were there, you would do the same thing like they did. Now, all these things happen unto them. So you can go back and read about the children of Israel and what happened to them. But it was written down in the book. Why? Because God wants us to learn from their mistakes. No, not to follow them. You have some folks, they're kind of foolish, you know, when you stop and think about it. They're trying to tell us, well, these things were nailed to the cross. If they're nailed to the cross, then you don't have to do it. They do not understand what was nailed to the cross. So here it is, he's saying, he's pointing out, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that all these things happen to them, and they are for examples, and they are written down for our admonition, and from and upon whom the heads of the age have come. Let's back up and read it again. Verse 10. All these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, we're coming up the end time. So all these things were written. God knew what was going to happen. But he wants us to learn the principle. You know, some folks, they just don't get it. You imagine, let's think about this for a minute. And you have a child who doesn't have a proper education. You want to give them some. And you decide, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to let them skip kindergarten. Did you give them the equivalent? Oh no, we don't need that. That's not valid. And then you go and you say, well, let's go to primary school. Are they going to get some primary education? Oh no, we don't need any of that. And now you come and try expect them to perform well in high school? Did you give them the equivalent before? No, we don't need none of that. That's old stuff. We don't need to do that anymore. Let's deal with some modern stuff now. Let's go straight to high school. A lot of people are living their life like that, ladies and gentlemen. So here it is, I'm making it plain that all these things happen to them so that we can learn. And that's the way it's going to be, it's going to continue, all right? Now, the way of the transgressor is hard. That's what I was trying to make. That's my second point. And so those who decide, well, we're going to live as we want to live, we're going to disobey God, you're going to have a hard life. That's all I can say. There's going to be a hard life. Now, what else do you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, as you continue your walk with the Lord? And let's go on and look at Proverbs, rather, chapter 4. Because what you find, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Bible is filled. You remember Jesus told us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what's the promise?
With all things will be added unto you.
All these things that you need afterwards will be what?
Added
unto you. Well, a lot of people want to steal. They want to grab it and take it before. And they don't realize they're mistaken. They must first seek the kingdom of God. That's our calling. We're continually seeking more of God. So what we find then, ladies and gentlemen, is that 13:15 says,
Actually,
This is, oh, that's Isaiah. I was wondering why the first looks so different. Proverbs chapter 13. Let's go to that quickly, please. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Now we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13, where it says, take fast hold of instructions. There's some people who, they really don't want to apply themselves. Our number one job is to be more like Jesus. Our number one job is to be studying his word every day. Not to really compare yourself with other people. No, that's their prerogative. Leave them alone. But you need to be paying attention to Jesus. And he said, take fast hold of, let's see, 4:13, verse chapter 4, verse 13 says, take fast hold of instructions. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. The instructions that God is giving us is what is going to sustain us, spiritually speaking. And so we must be quick to study this. We have the Sabbath. You have folks who, they think they know more than Jesus. So they decide, well, we don't have to keep the Sabbath. We just do what we want to do. I read it a few weeks ago. Boy, I want to make sure we don't go in, you know, become derelict. And Isaiah, the 58th chapter, tells us that we should make the Sabbath a delight. Have you been doing so? If you're not, you're derelict. Make the Sabbath a delight. You know, you stop and think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You have some people who work by the hour. We call this thing the payday. They're paid by the hour. The point is that they're making something. They're making money. They're being compensated. Now, what about those who decide they're not going to work? They just do it out. I was talking to my wife about this morning. I think it's valid. We just go ahead and share this example. Many, many years ago, my dad was in charge of this place. He was building a plant, setting things up, assembling it together, really. And there was this worker who, it was his job to undertake a task, that is to run to the store and get things for the people. Well, he decided he's not going to do it. And his argument was that he's going to have to work trying to make more money. Well, my dad just said to him, you know, afterwards, when they realized what's going on, he said, you just wasted your time. You just gave them an hour. You're not going to get paid for that. I mean, just like that. And then he still had to go do the errand that he was supposed to. There are a lot of people doing the same thing and don't realize God is letting them know you're wasting your time. There are a lot of people running up and down on the Sabbath. What's the end result of that? They end up doing without still. There are people who decide, I'm not going to keep his holy days. What's the end result of that? They're still staying ignorant. Things are not working out for them. Then all they had to do was just be obedient and come into the presence of God. He wants to bless us. We decide we're going to run away and do what we want to do. I am encouraging you, ladies and gentlemen, to take fast hold of instructions. Do not let her go. That's the instruction, the word of God. For that is your life. In other words, that's what's going to sustain you. What? The word of God. Hold on to it. All right? So what I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, that is reminder number 3. Look at Isaiah 55 for some promises, because we sometimes overlook these things and don't realize there's a lot that is available to us today if we would only pay close attention. All right, Isaiah, let me see, 55 and verse let's see where my notes is, 11. Well, let's pick up verse 10. For as the rain comes down, in other words, as it rains and the snow from the mountain melt and just come down, what do you think is going to happen after that? There's going to be growth, isn't there? That's what happened in nature. So he said, just like that, you know, it makes the herd to bud, you know, the word bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to those who eat. Verse 11 says, so shall my words be that goes forth out of my mouth. Who has spoken, God has spoken. And he says, that's how the word is that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, it's going to accomplish what he has purposed for that word to mean and bring forth just like he said. I want to thank Brother Victor for giving me the word of encouragement a few months ago when he was telling me how to use the name Jesus often, especially at night when he's sleeping, you know, when you're sleepy and so on. Well, guess what? I did the same thing, and I'm telling you, Jesus came through for me, and things just work big time. Things work out just well. And I'm over that period of testing. There's no excess calcium in my body, and there is no kidney stone. None. It's all gone. Jesus is still doing the things that he has always done. So what I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we should take false hold of instructions and do as we are, we are instructed. Now, there's another reminder I want to bring to our attention, because we know all of these things. We know all of this, but sometimes we have to be reminded of it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence. Be diligent. Don't be slothful, not be haphazard. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, what things is he making a reference to? Well, they are outlined in verses 3 to 4. He has countenanced his divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us these things. They are available to us, in other words. And if we read and apply, as we just heard, take fast hold of instructions. If we're diligent to apply ourselves, he's going to bless us even more. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? So I am saying to you now, these are just some basic reminders. Now, Jesus set us an example of how it needs to be. And if you're not moving in this direction, you are in danger of not being in the kingdom of God. In Luke, the second chapter, and verse, let me see what I have in my notes. Verse 42. It says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And so they went up there, you know the story. And he remained, he wasn't lost. He knew what he was doing. And so his parents traveled a day's journey. They come back. They left. They thought he was with the kin folks. They run around us like that. Well, guess what? He was back there talking with the lawyers and doctors at 12 years old. So here it is. He's talking to them, questioning them and hearing them and so on. And they were wondering about this little boy. So anyway, when they found him in verse 43, as they returned, the child is in Jerusalem, Joseph and his mother knew it not. They supposed him to have been in the company. And when they found him, not among the relatives, they say, let's go back. What did we do? And they go trace back. So it came to pass, verse 46, after 3 days, they found him. Now, what did he do at night? He know when to go to bed, he know when to lie down, and he know how to take care of himself. And so after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting with the doctors and the lawyers. And I can tell you something, because of the way he was talking, they just couldn't stop wanting to hear more from him. So anyway, that's what happened. And of course, his parents, they said to him, why have you dealt with us like this? Because behold, in other words, why didn't you just follow us home and so on? And he said to them in verse 49, don't you know I must be about my father's business? At 12 years old, he was attending to the promotion of the gospel. What are you doing? How many of you are above 12 years old? You should be busy doing the work of the Lord. You need to define that however you do it, but the point is that you need to get going. Whatever it is you need to do, start doing it right away. Focus on what you need to do at another time, but the idea is that you need to be involved. And if you're not doing it, you're derelict. Part of what you and I are supposed to be doing, ladies and gentlemen, is to study to show yourself approved. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to study and apply ourselves. Another thing that you and I need to make sure we're doing is to James chapter 1 verse 22. We must be a what? A doer of the word. Not hearers only. Be a doer of the word. In other words, we need to do it. All right, let's see. James chapter 1 verse 22. Be a doer of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving your own self. You know, the people who hear what we're saying and decide not to do it, they're deceiving themselves. Now, you can't tell them that. They really believe they got it all together, but they're deceived. If you're not doing what God says, if you're not actively involved in the promotion of the good news of the coming kingdom of God, you are derelict. And don't expect things to work out for you. What else are we supposed to be doing, ladies and gentlemen? Look at Philippians chapter 2, and verse 4. Because we need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, we got this thing all together. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. I want you to be a blessing to others. So we need to get hold of these things of God. Chapter 2 and verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, look out for one another. Plain and simple. It's a sophisticated way of saying it, but it stands the test of time. What are we supposed to do? Part of it then is to what? Looking out for one another. All right? Are you with me now, folks? All right, let's take it a step further. Because what we find then, ladies and gentlemen, is that as a result, we are going to grow up spiritually. Yes, we're going to grow up spiritually. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 12. Romans the 12th chapter, starting with verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Are you tarnishing your body by destroying it with drugs or abuse of alcohol or even eating too much? You're eating unclean food, destroying the temple? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead, but a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and that is reasonable. That's what he's saying here, which is your reasonable service. So we should be doing these things, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the acceptable will of God. Are you able to prove the will of God, or you just have good ideas? We need to test these things. You know, it's real easy. You can look. Am I attending service on a regular basis? Put a check mark there if the answer is yes. If not, no. All right, God, you got one wrong. Am I giving to the work of the Lord even though I make money? No, I don't think church people need the money. Well, you get that wrong too. So that's two strikes already so far. My point is that we need to be applying ourselves. There's a lot of different things that are listed and that you and I need to drill down and recognize the hand of God and make sure then that we are applying ourselves. He says, be perfect. Let me rephrase that. That's incorrect. We want to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What? The will of God, whatever God desires for you to do. And so we need to be what? Busy making sure that we are doing these things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pointing this out because you and I have an obligation to make sure we occupy until Jesus comes. Let's go to Luke chapter 19 for just a minute, please. Luke, the 19th chapter, and see some instructions that are there with regards to how we are supposed to live, what it is we should do or can do, and so on. So chapter 19 of Luke and verse 13 says, He called unto him his 10 servants, he's a rich man, and he delivered unto them 10 pounds. So everybody get the same thing. They have 10 pounds. And of course, that used to be a measure of money back in under the British system. We use dollars here in America, and a lot of other countries are using dollars and so on also. But he says, you know, let's see, where am I again? 1913. It says, he called them and given the 10, his servants, he gave them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy until I come. Notice now, he gave them the resources, he gave them instructions. And he said what? Occupy till I come. In other words, you must be actively engaged in whatever else is going on. Occupy until I come. Well, you find a lot of folks are not involved. They have excuses of why they can't do it. That's not wise. I am saying to you, you should be paying attention to God. No. As I said earlier, all Sabbath days are a milestone of the overall plan of God, the overall plan of God's, you know, what God is going to do with us and so on, what he has in store for us. Now, we read in, you know, 1 Corinthians, what's it? I think it's 2. Eyes have not seen nor hear, heard, nor entered into the heart of men, what the things that God has prepared for us. In other words, we really don't know. And so we should be what? Constantly looking towards him so he can bless us, give us direction and stuff like that. All right? But you and I now are coming up on a holy day starting sundown and Wednesday. Want to touch on a few things just to quickly give you an overview. We'll cover the rest on that day. It's a fast day, no food or drink, starting sundown Wednesday. You're on your own recognizance, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, you're supposed to be self-governing. When you follow the lead of the Spirit, you don't need other people to govern you. You're self-governing. You do what is right naturally. Well, I'm saying to you now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Day of Atonement this coming Thursday. And we're going to explore the meaning of it, what it means for mankind, the reconciliation of mankind to God, you know, to God, and also cleaning up the earth and have it, you know, tip-top shape. People who come in the second resurrection are going to think they're in heaven. And so what I'm trying to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we should be what? Actively participating in whatever it is God has called us to do. Be involved with the gospel. Leviticus, the 10th chapter, gives more information about it, what is associated with it, and so on. I'm not going to take time to go into all of this now, but I just want to remind you that there's an overall purpose. As I said before you can go to university, you have to finish high school equivalent information. Before you can go to high school, you have to finish primary school information. Make sure you know it. And before that, we go to kindergarten. It's that straightforward. Very, very easy. Very, very simple. All right. Moses told Aaron, what is recorded in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verse 3, where it says, the Lord will sacrifice in them and come unto him. In other words, so the point was this. Let me go ahead and read it, as a matter of fact. Leviticus, let me see, chapter 10. Let's go there. Leviticus chapter 10. I don't want to give half stuff. I want to make sure you get the full gist of what I'm trying to convey to you. Leviticus chapter 10. Because when you understand how it's supposed to be, then that makes it a lot easier for every one of us, ladies and gentlemen. Leviticus, let me see, 10 and verse 3. He says, Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near unto me, and be filled, and Aaron held his peace. What happened is that Moses, Aaron have two sons. One of those, you know, it's the type that everything for them is a joke. They can't take nothing serious. And they just decide they're going to play around instead of behaving themselves in a hot, responsible and modest way. No, they act up. And the end result is that God just destroyed them right there in the temple. Dead. And so the point they were trying to make is that God, even though he's loving, he's dead serious. There were other people act up in the book of Acts. And what happened to them? They just got taken out just the same way. So what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that these appointed times then has great significance for you and I. And so as we continue our walk with the Lord, we should strive to display, because that's what we are. We're a display. We are just a walking display of what God is trying to do with mankind. All right? Now, this is part, by the way, folks, we're supposed to have a regular routine. You're supposed to have your own routine. As you study the scriptures, you develop your own routine and you practice doing things a certain way. All right? And so my point, though, is this, that when you get involved now with the things of God, you're going to realize now that it is that significant that we do. We have protocol steps in order not to make we miss anything or misunderstand or misconstrue information. In other words, we go on top of the ball, so to speak, and make sure we do that. Now, why is this so necessary? Because the world, as we have seen clearly, the world has gone straight, has gone contrary to God. We can't afford that. The world is supposed to be learning from God. So you and I then have to make sure then we are what? What are we? We're a walking epistle. We're a model. You know, when folks want to sell certain kind of clothes, they let people come and they try them on and they wear it. You have certain manufacturers over here. They make certain clothes, they give it to the first lady and the first gentleman, the president. What do? Well, they allow them, ladies and gentlemen, they wear those, this whatever the clothes is, so they can show you how it is supposed to be. And then, of course, a lot of people say, oh, I want to wear the same thing like the lady, first lady. And they sell thousands upon thousands of this, make a lot of money that way. Well, you and I are a walking display every Sabbath. People should be able to take note and recognize that you're guilty of being a Christian. And so you appear before the Lord as your custom is, just like Jesus, we're following him, right? At Luke 4:16, as the custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Well, what are we doing? The same thing. We're walking in his footsteps. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I want to go ahead and make sure we put this in before you, because the devil always sends somebody to come and try to tell you you don't have to do these things. Really? How else are you going to get the anointing? How else are you going to fulfill and display, be on a display for the Lord unless you do these things? Need I say more along that line? In addition, ladies and gentlemen, on the Day of Atonement, we're going to talk more about it again on the Day of Atonement, but it represents also a certain freedom that came because of bondage. Well, overall, we already knew that, but what I'm trying to convey to you is that they had set up a system where we even dissolve, or in other words, cancel the debt of those people who owed you money. You cancel it. Said, let it go. And God bless the people for us. Those who decide to pay attention to him. in 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, chapter 2. All right, let's see, where am I? Okay. Verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin," because you can make mistakes, "if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, the righteous." If anybody sin, we have somebody who's always looking out for us. His name is Jesus, and he's right there. And he say, "Hey, listen, that's the boy. He's gonna repent. You know, give him a break, and the Lord does, however he might say." But that's part of what happened. And so he says in verse 2, "He is the propitiation," which is an old English word. It means deposit or down payment. "He is the deposit for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the whole world." So Jesus came and he died once. That's it. He's not going to do it again. And for those now who accept that, well, he put it on your bank account, so to speak, and blessings going to pour in upon you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure we get this clear in our spirit. I want to make sure, because I may have to, you know, go over this a little more. Romans chapter 5. Let's turn there. Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. I'll pick up verse 10. If when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God. Now listen to this. We are on the opposite side when I have nothing to do with God. And yet God decided he's going to bless you just anyway. He's turning you around. So he says, at that point, he said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Now, how are you saved? By his life. We were reconciled before. The moment we made that decision, he said, "Cancel out the debt. That guy is on the team now." Or at least he's going in that direction. And so now we are what? We are saved by his life. Now, you're always going to have folks who are willing to, you know, argue against us. But let's just pick up one more scripture, because we're going to drill down a little more. But so let's go to Galatians chapter 4, because I want to make sure we have this thing in our spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Galatians chapter 4, start with verse 1. "Now I say this, brethren," so here it is, he's about to summarize some things, and he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's the child, does not differ from a servant, though he is Lord of all." Let's break that down a little. Here it is, you have somebody living in your house, they're a child, but they are without, because you see, you still possess your stuff. But you make a will, which they're going to get it afterwards when you're no longer around. And he says, but that person now is under tutors or governors until the appointed time when they're going to take hold of it or inherit whatever it is. Are you with me? So, verse 3 says, "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of this world." Yes. A lot of people, I'm telling you, a lot of people are in bondage. They may not realize it. But anybody who doesn't actively have Jesus is in bondage to this system. They're in bondage to the devil. And he can do whatever he wants with them. "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made just like under the law, to redeem them, that's us, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba. So He can give you the Spirit because of that. And verse 7 says, wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are sons of God. Sons is neuter gender. It means both male and female, whoever decide to follow God. We are what? Heirs with Him. This is what the point I'm trying to make when we go on this mission today. We are going as heirs and representative of Jesus Christ, and we're going to drive out whatever that issue is, and we go see certain people. And we're going to declare, and we believe God is going to give us victory over the enemy. Are you with me now, folks? So this is part of what I'm trying to convey. There's a whole lot more that is available to people who are in Jesus. We're not talking about people who just talk about and say they are. No, they're still under bondage. But for those who chooses to obey God and to follow His way of life actively, the moment you turn actively, He starts to work for you. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see something because it's easy to read over this, ladies and gentlemen. It's really sad that so many people lose these things. I am saying to you, all right, Colossians chapter 1. And verse 29. That's a very deep statement, and most people read right over it. It's just one verse. Look at what it says in verse 29. Wherefore I also labor. You and I are laboring, striving according to His working, or how He leads us, His working which works in me mightily. God don't go halfway. He go all out. And He's working in us mightily. Now, some people won't let Him work in them because they're so cocky and arrogant. They decide they're going to just do what they want to do. And they just plain ignore Him. We're not going to do it. We don't have to do this. No, are you going to bother to do it? And they make up all kind of excuse. They are read out. But for those who decide to yield to the Spirit and follow Him, He's going to be working in us mightily. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? This is part of what you and I are looking forward to, and that's part of what we're supposed to be receiving now. And I'm going to spend some more extra time explaining some of these things on Thursday, Day of Atonement. But we need to understand this, ladies and gentlemen, because God has given to us. He has given us these things freely now. It's unfortunately, most people don't accept it. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then the things are added to you, but people just keep ignoring it. They do keep doing things their way. That like that young man who decided he won't follow the instruction of the boss, he's going to go ahead and he's going to work. Well, he worked for nothing. A lot of people who won't keep the Sabbath holy decide they're going to run up and down. They work for years. They have nothing to show for it, and they're not going to have nothing. They're still going to be lacking because they're still going to get a spanking for being disobedient. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. What did I say earlier? The way of the transgressor is hard. That's people who go contrary. But good understanding will give us favor. Let's make sure we get a good understanding and do what God says and be willing to follow Him, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to find that not only will you enjoy the blessings of atonement, but you're going to enjoy a whole lot more. And we're going to talk more about this at another time, but I think I just pause right here, ladies and gentlemen, and just, you know, make a note of this. We're going to continue again this coming Thursday, for the Day of Atonement. But I just want you to be blessed, ladies and gentlemen. I have this burden on my heart to really help release things into the life of people if they would only yield to Him. No, my job is just to tell you. But it's up to you now to apply it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.